This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We're covering a lot of different things, a few unusual programs during the summertime, especially a couple of this week. But we're going to bring in one of our area lawmakers to look at a number of things. State Senator David Brock Smith is back on with us up in Bellevue. David, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate being here.
So tell us about what you're doing up in Bellevue and about this group that you're part of the meeting with.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's PNWR. So it's the Pacific Northwest Economic Region. It includes Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and the Western Canadian provinces. I was privileged to be appointed back in 17 in the House as the House Republican delegate to PNWR. There's a House and Senate Republican, a House and Senate Democrat appointed to PNWR. So I served until moving to the Senate in 23 and then was reappointed earlier this year. We talk about a number of things when it comes to trade, energy, transportation, transmission of energy. We started the conference on Sunday afternoon. Our first speaker was Congressman Rick Larson from Washington. He's the ranking member on the House Congressional Transportation Committee. Was able to speak to him after his segment about our work in Coos Bay, which he's very familiar with because of Congresswoman Hoyle. Efforts there, but the Pacific Coast Intermodal Port Project that we were able to secure $100 million in state bonding authority for the dredging portion of that project in the last session. So it started out pretty well with those conversations.
So tell us a little bit more about this organization. I think probably not a lot of people are familiar with it.
Yeah, PNWR is a great organization. I mean, there's so many different things that we rely on when it comes to our Canadian partners up north. A lot of it is when it comes to energy, right? They have a lot of oil and gas that flows through. You might remember the Pembina project that we tried to, which was a Canadian natural gas company that we were pushing forward for the Port of Coos Bay is an LNG terminal that ultimately Governor Brown killed. In hindsight, maybe that was a good thing as we move forward with the Pacific Coast Intermodal Port Project, which will bring thousands more jobs to the area. Yesterday we talked about regional housing needs and energy and a number of other things when it comes to agriculture today. One of my folks that I met in the past, Dr. Paul Hesburgh, opening the morning session with wildfire. As you know, it's a situation that grips the Pacific Northwest because of the lack of management on our federal landscapes. He opened this morning session and then had a breakout session where we got more in depth. I think we've talked about, Kyle, before, you know, when it comes to the over 50% of the federal ownership of Oregon is managed by, you know, the federal government, federal lands, and 82% of the acres burned on a 10-year average in Oregon are burned on federal lands, and of the 18% of fires that burn on private land, 15% of those acres are burned because of fires that come off of federal land to private land, and of the 3% of fires that start on private land and burn on private land, 98% of those acres are kept to less than 100 acres because they're managed resource. And so my other hat in this type of legislative role with these various organizations is the Council of State Governments West. I'm the Senate Republican on CSUS, but I'm also, we were able to create one of their eight standing committees is wildfire and disaster preparedness. And I was appointed one of the eight Republican co-chairs of those committees of the nearly 1,000 legislators in those western states from Wyoming to Alaska and Hawaii. And so Paul, Dr. Hesburgh, world-renowned associate professor for University of Washington and Oregon State University, and the work that he does in this wildfire space, I encourage everyone to just go to YouTube and look up Dr. Hesburgh or ERA Megafire. And it really goes to the heart of the work that we did back in 23 to pass my Senate Bill 872 that says we need more thinning management in the federal forests, more meadowland restoration, more post-fire harvest and replanting. We deal with it in of course, the Umpqua and Rock Creek hatchery and the fact that the fires that burn and the increase in water temperatures there are impacting hatchery systems. And it's the federal government that needs to move forward. So in September, I'll be in at the annual CSG conference in Wyoming. We have a panel for the, of course, a couple of panels on wildfire for our committee. And the idea is that we raise our Western states, state legislative voices to our congressional delegation so that we can get the federal government to front load the dollars that are necessary to pass legislation into the USFS and BLM so we can transition our wildland firefighters and hire more fuel reductions to get into our wildland urban interfaces in our rural communities, do the thinning, ladder fuel reduction, prescribed fire, get local logs to local mills, local jobs in our rural communities, and mitigate the catastrophic wildfire that exists on those federal landscapes. So that's the plan. I've been talking about it for a number of years. It's in my newsletters and discussed, and so we're just trying to make it happen.
And for this organization, it sounds like then it's kind of, if anything, opens up the doors of communication between all these different parts of the West to see how partnerships can be forged and to improve the economies of all the areas.
Oh, yeah. So the collaborative efforts in with well within PINWAR, if you think about energy, you think about natural gas and electrical generation, for example, you know, we rely on a lot of oil and natural gas from our Canadian partners. We rely when it comes to our shipping and rail, which is what the segment that's going on right now that I'm going to step back into when we're done here, which is critically important. Economic development and trade. Canadians, of course, buy Washington and Oregon products. And so being able to collaborate, because you have Washington legislators here, Idaho legislators here, Montana legislators here, and, of course, the western, you know, Saskatchewan and western Canadian provinces, we work together to see, figure out, you know, is there better ways that we can address the transmission infrastructure, because we need more electrical transmission. It takes 20 to 25 years on the federal side of things. How can we streamline that? Because transmission and transmissional jurisdictions cross state lines. What can we do to collaborate as state legislators in those areas and others so that we don't have competing, if you will, state policies that would impact or slow down any of those permitting processes.
And how many days is this group meeting?
We're done Thursday morning. I'm going to be heading back late Wednesday evening for other commitments down in district.
All right, a lot going on. We're going to switch gears a bit when we come back with State Senator David Brock Smith. He's at Bellevue, Washington. Interview a podcast at 541radio.com after 1 o'clock, 1245 and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4 o'clock on tomorrow's program. One of our music-related interviews, we're going to talk to one of the members, maybe more, from the Heart of Rock and Roll, appearing at Music Off Central in Sutherland on Thursday night. State Senator David Brock Smith up in Bellevue, Washington, at the Pacific Northwest Economic Region meetings there. Wanted to cover some other things, though, as we go along. I looked around, did a little bit of a search earlier, and I can find nothing out there about a special session. There's still a potential for the Oregon State Legislature. Is that idea dead?
No. The governor wants a special session to deal with the ODOT's budget that the majority party failed to pass. I mean, her blaming Republicans is ridiculous. The Democrats have a supermajority. They run every aspect of the legislative process and the budgets and the meetings and so forth. And so they frankly didn't need a Republican vote to raise taxes. The problem was is they didn't make it a priority. It wasn't they didn't get something passed, move forward in time to pass. And when they finally got to the end and proposed a 3-cent gas tax, it cut out counties and cities from the 50-30-20 split. You know, remember, there's an agreement with gas tax that 50% of every cent, if you will, goes to ODOT, 30% goes to the counties, and 20% goes to the cities so that they can be assisted in maintaining their roads. And so the governor does want a special session. I can tell you that we, you know, I mean, the Senate Republicans are very concerned because the governor back in December, I believe, of last year, move forward with an executive order that established a project labor agreement, or PLA, when it comes to ODOT projects that would increase the cost in upwards of 20 to 30% of those projects and, frankly, carve out nearly 80% of the contractors, companies that were have the ability to do those projects, because it would only allow for union contractors to do them. So when you think about, you know, Douglas County or Curry County and the southwest part of my district and those contracts for Tidewater when they're working on Highway 101, you wouldn't be able to do that. You'd have to bring in companies from Eugene. And so we're not interested in allowing for a raising of a gas tax only for project costs to increase in upwards of 30%. It's just ridiculous. So the governor needs to rescind her PLA so that we can start a conversation on moving forward. And I know that you saw the layoffs, you saw the closures of those ODOT yards, and you're in a situation where closing one in Port Orford, for example. And if you look at those layoffs and ODOT yards, you'll see rural Oregon is being impacted greater, I would say, than the urban areas, which is ridiculous and I think retaliatory, even though it was the governor and the supermajority that didn't get it done. So we I'm hopeful that the governor will commit to removing the PLA that my colleague, Senator Starr, is the vice chair of the Joint Committee on Transportation, co-vice chair, and Representative Shelley Bossart Davis, who is the House Republican co-vice chair, can discuss how we move forward, how we keep the jobs, and frankly, how we make sure that the dollars are going to those projects and not being wasted. We have to fix the HGAS or the truckers that are paying over $1 billion biennium more than they should be under the Constitution. And it's, frankly, also, Kyle, you're in a situation where, you know, we could have legislatively, because there's project funding that was allocated in statute in 2017 that we could have rerouted to plug the $360 million hole. But the Democrats refused to do it. You remember that the House and Senate Republicans came with a plan that didn't raise taxes and kept these things going, and the Democrat majority rejected it. So that's where we're at. And I'm hopeful that that we'll come to a resolution, of course, that doesn't increase any taxes and that reallocates existing resources. They go back to the negotiating table, and we look at something in the short session in 2026.
Now, let's switch topics. So far around the Umpqua Valley, we haven't had a lot, hardly at all, with wildfires going. Rogue Valley certainly had some issues, other parts of the state too. Are we still on track in terms of funding these wildland firefighting efforts for the balance of this year?
Well, we do have a lot of fires on the we do have fires on the landscape earlier. We did allocate resources to fund wildfire, not to the level that I believe, you know, when we looked at the at last year, it was we had to come in and plug a $300 million hole in December, if you remember that special session that we put together. But I think, and I'm hopeful that that our communities are not impacted by wildfire, knock on wood, pun intended. But we are in a situation where you never know. It's out of our hands. I did have legislation that unfortunately didn't move forward that would have penalized arsonists that create wildfires, but the Democrat majority refused to move forward because a lot of our wildfires aren't lightning driven. They are caused by man. It is as far as the budget though, as to your question, we have, I believe, about 180 million dollars set aside for wildfire. And so that's for the biennium, and we're moving forward, and everybody's on full suppression. But for the long term, it's one of the reasons why I'm here, and we're having these conversations, and the work with CSG West is so that if we get in there, we know that if we do these prescriptions, it's not only jobs, but it's also mitigating those wildfire impacts within our federal forests. If you remember, Senator Bonham and I passed the Good Neighbor Authority agreements in 2018 session that created Good Neighbor Authority, which allows Oregon Department of Forestry to work with the U.S. Forest Service and BLM on forest management on federal lands. It's been a very successful program. And the Trump administration is moving forward on streamlining and increasing federal forest management as well. So I think the stars are aligning, if you will, so that we can actually see some real reforms. But it's not going to happen overnight. We're going to continue to work. And as you know, the governor wanted to move forward with taking the kicker to pay for wildfire, and we made sure that didn't happen.
All right, about 30 seconds left. What's kind of ahead on your schedule for the balance of the week?
Well, we have I'm going back into transportation. I have a couple meetings back in district. Of course, we have the Coos County Fair is happening, the Curry County Fair that I want to spend some time at. And if I remember right, next week is, or no, the week here in a couple weeks, we have the Douglas County Fair. I look forward to seeing folks there at Representative Osborne and I's booth. And I just really appreciate it. Everyone stay safe out there and enjoy your summer.
All right. State Senator David Brock Smith from Bellevue, Washington. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Tom.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.